Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Welcome one and all as we start another week here at The Damage Report with me, John Arola, and joining us as always, as is right, Francesca Fiorentini. How's it going?
It's good. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I am playing a catch up in a lot of different ways. I feel like everything is coming too soon. Yeah. There's breaking news. We went over with the pre-port. I had to deal with some dog stuff earlier. I'm just trying to catch up. How have you been? How are you doing?
What's up with you? Any big plans
coming up soon? What's going on?
Oh, you know, just me plugging the same show I did last week, but reminding everyone in Sacramento, California, or in the nearby area to come see me for St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, headlining with my husband, Matt Lieb. Should be very fun. Get tickets, punchlinesac.com or francescafiorentini.com. I hope to see you there. Dragon Squad, let's go. It'll be good.
Well, first of all, a little fact check. Don't try to steal the headline. Your husband is headlining, okay? Come to see Matt. You'll also see Francesca, but.
So rude. I know he does have top billing, even though I'm going to close it out. Mm-hmm. Whatever. We're going to arm wrestle for it.
He kind of has to have top billing because he is 3.5 feet taller than you. I know. He's the only one who can reach that billing.
If anyone's seen me online, I'm not actually that short. I'm not short. Okay.
I don't know. Kind of looks like a Frodo and Gandalf situation when I've seen you guys in person. But anyway, maybe Pippin. Maybe you're a Pippin.
I'm Pippin.
Anyway, with that said, I have
second breakfast. I just want to say I'm yes. Big second breakfast person
and big fan of the pipeweed. But anyway, very hairy feet. Most people don't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a lot that we're going to be talking about through the course of this first hour. Not only the breaking news of the morning with the Supreme Court, we're going to be talking about that. We've got an updated brain rot report, including my new favorite individual example of brain rot in Donald Trump, which we're going to be playing for you. Updates on Lauren Boebert. Actually, a major shakeup. We've been following every iteration of the Lauren Boebert attempt to cling to power, and she's got a secret weapon. So we're going to be breaking that down. It's kind of unfortunate, actually. But hey, to balance it out, we've got some updates on Ted Cruz's effort to stay in the Senate. Maybe that'll be a little bit more good news, actually. So stick around for that. Coming up in the aftermath, for those of you who aren't on the podcast, and if you are on the podcast, head over to the YouTube channel and you'll see all this stuff. Presidential candidate Cenk Uygur is going to be joining us in advance of Super Tuesday to break down a new ad. We're also going to be jumping into the evidence of increasing support for Donald Trump among African Americans. He's been seen pictured with large groups of African American voters. There's an interesting wrinkle to those pictures, which we will be breaking down. I love that story. And I also love Representative Mike Collins, who I'm not even sure if we've talked about him before on the show, responded to a tweet and now he is scrambling to explain himself. So a lot to look forward to in the aftermath as well. So prep for that. Hit the like button, share the stream if those are things that apply to the platform that you're on. And with all that said, Francesca, are you ready to talk some politics?
Yeah, this is going to be fun. This is good.
It's going to be great. It is going to be fun. We're going to make, that's our job. That's literally our only job. We make it fun, okay?
Yeah.
So you get funny fast, okay?
I'll bring
in a true headliner like Matt.
Although I see we might be talking about, you know, genocide. So I'm trying to say genocide, but that's not fun.
You know what? Actually, I'm glad that you mentioned that because we're mixing things up a little bit, just for a bit. Don't freak everyone. But normally on Mondays for our members, our tier two members, we release a weekly top 10 list. Well, we're mixing it up and we're doing a bit of like bonus content. We're going to be talking about some updates having to do with Gaza and having to do with ceasefires and some maybe big developments in that area. So that'll be going out to the members later on today. Let us know what you think about that, the top 10s versus the bonus content. I'm sure everyone will be angry.
I'll have no more screaming capacity at that time, John. You realize that. My voice will be completely gone by then, which might be good.
Well, you can write down in all caps like a Trump bleep.
Yeah.
Anyway, with that said, let's get to our big news. Breaking domestic and election news of the morning. The Supreme Court has ruled on Donald Trump's ballot eligibility, and in a shocker, they're saving him. Okay, that's not really a shocker. I guess maybe what the shocker might be is that it was technically unanimous. 9-0, Colorado cannot bar Donald Trump from their ballot. He's back on just in advance of the vote, which will happen in that state coming up within 24 hours. And that's really not that surprising. But we are going to jump into some elements of this that maybe are a little bit surprising. And the things that I think are most interesting about the ruling, it's almost not even the stuff that they ruled on, although there's a bit there. It's the stuff that they didn't. They are completely uninterested in whether Donald Trump participated in an insurrection. They don't have anything to say about it. They don't have any theories. They don't seem to think that it matters at all. And they don't really address it literally at all. They also almost entirely shy away from one of the biggest legal questions that I even found to be maybe compelling, if moronic, is that that clause of the Constitution that was being used by the Colorado challenge to him to keep him off doesn't apply to the president. I think it's stupid that it wouldn't, but it doesn't specifically say that it does. So that could have been an easy technical legalese way to allow him back on without ruling more broadly about other aspects of this. But they didn't even really do that. They were by far most interested in who it is that is supposed to adjudicate and enforce this area of the Constitution. And they did rule in that area. In fact, they went even beyond what a lot of the liberal justices who aren't like technically dissenting, but they're kind of dissenting while voting in support of what the majority is largely saying. So we're gonna have some of what they had to say about that, about how the conservatives have gone beyond where they strictly speaking needed to, which is weird because they're strict literalists and they don't believe in judicial activism. So weird. But Francesca, top line story, Trump is back on the ballot. What do you think?
I mean, we knew he was going to be. I think that sadly, whether or not these justices were appointed by Democrats or Republicans, they are part of an establishment, part of nine people that have outsized and insanely indeterminate decision-making power over our everyday lives. And here you go. And there, this is not just a win for Donald Trump. This is the win for normalcy. We must preserve normalcy because, we don't want to admit that something insanely abnormal like January 6th, like the Confederate rising up against the Union, right? Whatever happened in this country, even though it just did and I just named it, and that's why we even have the 14th Amendment right there. And they want to pretend. And often I think we have to remember before we get into the details that, guys, we have to save ourselves, that we, the people, we are not being looked after. We are not being cared for. Our Constitution is not being honored by the people who were elected or appointed to uphold the Constitution. You don't need, anyway, we'll get into the details, but all to say, nah, man, the 14th Amendment was written for a reason. And I hope going forward, whether it's expanding the courts, whether it's actually having an amendment to that amendment to the amendment, that we can truly hold people accountable when they, aggress upon our very democracy.
Yeah. No, I mean, I still think maybe I'm, a wide-eyed optimist. I think that we can defend the country against people that aggress in that way. If they're like commies or something, if they're challenging capitalism, if there's a few things like that, but if they largely want to continue the economic status quo, let's give them a pass as a treat. That's what I feel. And we are gonna dive into the specifics, but I just top line for me, we never doubted that this was what they were going to do. From, 1,000 miles up, that they were going to keep him on the ballot. We had no doubt about that. We maybe foolishly thought that they would pair it with the absolute immunity thing. But like in every way they could have, this is like the worst version of what we thought would have happened. They're not pairing it with the absolute immunity thing. This instant, man, we heard your arguments. We came back super responsive. But the thing about like the idea that the president could go around decapitating people all day, every day, and he couldn't be charged for it. We're gonna need a couple months on that. We need to think about that because it's compelling, the argument. So like it's completely inconsistent in that way. And again, they're not even using like the technical thing of, well, it doesn't say the president.
Right, which is so sad. I'm glad they're not using that, but yes, go on.
No, it would be sad. But at least that would sort of be saying, okay, it's ridiculous that it wouldn't fit the president.
Yeah.
But that's what it does, not this. That's not what they're doing here. What they're doing is, yeah, that's technically in the Constitution, but it's like really inconvenient. And like, I don't know, like if we were to do that, like some MAGA people would be mad. So like, let's mostly pretend that it's not there. For the president. That's what they're doing. They're doing like the opposite of what one would think they'd do if you had been raised to think that the Supreme Court was like nonpartisan, non-biased and all that. They jump into the stuff of like, oh, is it disenfranchising people? Well, yeah, theoretically, if you know, capital punishment removes the ability of the person that you killed to run for office and then nobody could vote for him. So I guess we can't have capital punishment because that's disenfranchising potential voters. It's a stupid, nonsensical argument.
What about felons? I mean, what about felons?
What about felons?
Who are being disenfranchised constantly in states around this country. And yes, states' rights. Remember how they were really into states' rights? This was about Colorado specifically and their Supreme Court. And same with other states. Like, aren't we for states' rights? Didn't we kick the Dobbs decision and reproductive rights to the states?
Temporarily.
Right.
Well, and Francesca, well, then, you know, the Constitution says you can only run for president twice. Yeah, but if we stop them at two, then it's disenfranchising people who want to vote for them a third time. It's not a serious argument, okay? It's a convenient argument that you can, it's convenient in one of two ways. Either they're seriously worried about political violence or whatever, and they think that judicial cowardice is the only way to avoid it, which sucks in its own way. Or it's convenient because, you know, Trump still gets to run for office and maybe he'll give us more tax cuts and maybe he'll be president. So a couple of these conservative justices can retire without worrying about a Democrat replacing them. It's convenient in one of those ways at the very least.
And I think you basically articulated how it's convenient for either liberals, which is the first way of like, we're afraid, you know, that there'll be political violence. You mean like the one we already saw, the one you should be ruling around right now? Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is, yeah, I want a, you know, conservative in power, and that would be the conservative justices. So either way, the people are effed, and as if there hasn't already been political violence. But yeah, let's keep going.
And by the way, if you are worried about political violence, okay, in America, maybe just end the Trump thing. Because of political violence that is, I think, from a reasonable point of view, directly linkable to a candidate or inspired by his ideology, which is violent and never makes apologies for that. What does Trump represent? 99% of that? Sure, you've got your coups and stuff like that, but you've got your conspiracy theorists going and shooting up places. You've got people mailing pipe bombs to his enemies. You've got people trying to assassinate the spouses of political leaders who turn against him. Like he is the font of all of this. But sure, leave him on the ballot. Surely he'll never coup again. Donald Trump, of course, is declaring victory after the Supreme Court keeps him on the ballot, saying big win for America. Sure, well, because he cares about America. This is not about him and his aspirations. This is about America. So not much there, although bear in mind, he's doing a press conference soon. So I'm sure that will be the worst. But he was on a conservative radio show and he said he was honored by it. This is for future presidents. This is not for me. This is for future presidents. All presidents, you know, all presidents insurrect, from time to time. This isn't that he is this one singular president who has not respected the peaceful transfer of power and brought us to the brink of the end of American democracy in a way that literally no other president before has. It's not that. It's for all presidents.
So, and I will be all of those presidents.
From now on.
From now on, all the presidents is me. But he's got to win in November. Ooh, or not, John. Honestly, or not. Given this ruling, it's like, it's basically, yeah, go ahead and do the thing that you did on January 6th. Do it, okay, do it a little bit more organized. Maybe kick it to the Supreme Court. We'll rule in your favor. Make sure the margin of error is a little bit narrower so we can kick it to you. You know, TBD, but we got your back. Like, a little 100%.
Yeah, yeah. And or, you know, even if they don't put him in, like he loses and then they put him in office, why not do a coup again? Your plan is to run in 2028. Why not run after two attempts at an insurrection? Right. I mean, why, you're not going to be banned after that. They're not even interested in the insurrection part of this. So the whole thing is so utterly ridiculous. I would love, I can't wait to see what he says at this press conference. But in any event, the Secretary of State of Colorado, who of course, you know, led the first of these states that have taken him off the ballot, Jenna Griswold, said, "I'm disappointed in the decision stripping states of the authority to enforce Section 3 of the 14th Amendment for federal candidates. Colorado should be able to bar oath-breaking insurrectionists from our ballot." You know, you would think, I mean, it's in the Constitution, but they don't like it. So sorry, Colorado. And also, I just want to mention this because we're talking about like who's happy about this, who's not happy about this. So on Twitter, which don't go to it, but 90 Trump was trending, which, look, if you're a MAGA person and you want Trump on the ballot, which I'm assuming you do, then you've got to be happy about the fact that this is 90. But that is, of course, never enough for these people. So all of them, like it is, Twitter's flooded right now with racism and anti-Semitism. But then also about this stuff, it's people saying like the libs are breaking down. They can't believe that it went this way. What are you talking about? We've been saying for months this is how it's going to go. We were speculating about exactly what argument they were going to use. But what lib is surprised by this? They have to pretend to themselves that we're angry, like not because this is the system playing itself out the way it's supposed to, that this is, if anything, is a deep state that protects the establishment that they love to demonize. This is an example of how that works. The system is structured to fill the Supreme Court with conservatives, regardless of what the American people actually believe in election after election. And then, oh, what do you know? They then repay the favor by saving a Republican presidential candidate. Mm-hmm. We're not surprised by this. They have to pretend that we were shocked. It's really weird. They should maybe like talk to a liberal.
I mean, this isn't our first rodeo, all right? A lot of us were barely a voting age or just narrowly a voting age in the year 2000 when the Supreme Court stopped a recount of votes. Just like literally handed it to George W. Bush. Oh, and his brother was the governor of the state that he so-called won. So we've been here before, John. We've been here before.
We've 100% been here. We're not surprised by it. This is why, and like when we say, you know, this is another example of how the Supreme Court is obviously not constituted in a way that it can deliver on the mission that people believe that it has. This is not like us, like all of a sudden, like you love the Supreme Court and now you're freaking out. No, I've had issues with the Supreme Court for some time. This is not the biggest issue. There's tons of issues. It should bother you. It doesn't, only because you have the advantage right now. Like if Biden somehow wins and he replaces a couple of the conservatives, I have a feeling they'll be more willing to talk about reform of the Supreme Court at that point. And you know who else will? Me. If we get the advantage, I will still be willing to talk about, you know, 18-year terms, maybe guaranteed placements on the Supreme Court for each presidential term. So it's not a complete crapshoot. Because I believe in consistency and it's a broken system. They only care about the fact that it's broken when it's broken in a way that actually hurts them. Donald Trump actually lost a race in the Republican primary. It's the first and likely the last that he'll lose. And we're gonna get to his response because of course he can't just cop to the fact that he lost. He has to twist reality to make it seem as if that's what he wanted in the first place. But he lost. Nikki Haley won the Washington DC Republican primary. It wasn't particularly close. She beat him by nearly 30 points, the sort of gap that if it was Donald Trump, he would literally never stop talking about it. Mm-hmm. And that is notable not only because it's the first race that he's lost in this election, but it is also, I believe, the first primary in a Republican primary state that was won by a woman. So that is actually history. Nikki Haley has made history in the Republican Party by actually winning that. It probably won't happen again until 2028 when Marjorie Greene sweeps 50 states or something. I don't know. But anyway, but don't worry, Donald Trump is doing fine. He's not mad at all. Okay, he posted, "I purposely stayed away from the DC vote because it's this swamp with very few delegates and no upside except, you know, the delegates, I suppose." Bird brain spent all of her time, money, and effort there. Did she? I feel like she did some stuff in South Carolina, New Hampshire. I don't think. Okay. "Over the weekend, we won a bunch of states, big numbers, complete destruction of a very weak opponent," except it wasn't complete destruction. Because she won DC. You see, it would be complete if you had lost DC, but you lost. "The really big numbers will come on Super Tuesday," which is probably true. "Also, way up on Crooked Joe," which we don't have time to do a full thing on this, but I do want to just point out some polls came out over the weekend. One had Biden up nationally by like 4 points over Trump, so that's fine. Others had Trump up over Biden nationally and in the swing states. And in that poll, he was narrowly beating Biden in basically all the swing states. Nikki Haley was demolishing Joe Biden in these swing states.
Oh my God.
If you're a Republican, you should sit with those numbers for a few minutes because it would not even be a race. But you know, I don't want the Republicans to win, so I love the fact that they're ignoring this. But that's why he had to lie about the fact that he's big up on Crooked Joe. Nikki Haley was whooping Trump against Joe Biden.
Damn.
But then he really starts, well, hold one second. He really starts to fall apart. "Bird brain is a loser." "Virtually record low performance in virtually every state except the one where she beat you. Something something DeSantis, something something pledge. Well, she ran, she lied, and she lost big." He's still mad that she said she wouldn't run and she did. She's a politician, man. Like, you're gonna get mad at her for that of all things. You're mad about politicians lying. Okay, buddy, what do you think?
Let's be real. When the primary started, we were all rolling our eyes and we had to, like, you know, stomach the likes of Vivek Ramaswamy and Ron DeSantis. And truly, just on like on a level of thank God I don't have this much heartburn, it is nice that Nikki Haley is the person who's driving Trump insane and like not even nipping at his heels, like nipping at his footsteps. I don't even like, but annoying him enough, be in the bonnet enough to where he's freaking out. And of course, he's the most triggered by women. We've established this. So it's extra wonderful that she's a woman. And it is kind of cool. Yeah, she made history. I mean, look, here's the thing. You could look at the number of votes and you're like, all right, 1200 votes, 1300 votes. That's not very many votes. But wouldn't that just be like a natural Trump win? Like, wouldn't you assume that if there were that few votes in any Republican primary, that Donald Trump would just easily clean that up? Like, as like dessert or whatever? Like, no, she won. And those polls, like the story of the weekend truly should be Nikki Haley trounces Biden in a general, but it's not. And again, here we are, John, two insanely unpopular candidates. Actually, one for the Republican Party and one for the Democratic Party. And this is who we got somehow.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. And it's like, it's weird because obviously we've been through this before. I don't know if anybody knows where I'm going with this, but you know, back in 2016, we remember the general election polls that came out during the primary. And it's like, you know, Clinton might be able to beat Trump. Bernie is whooping Trump.
Uh-huh.
Let's go with Clinton. And wait, I don't remember how that worked out. Hold on, I'm gonna Google this. Hold on one second. But now we're seeing it from the opposite angle. Now, look, I do think, to be fair, I think that the Haley lead over Biden is more than the Bernie lead over Trump. You know, it depends on when you look at it and everything. But like, it's so wild that they will not go for the almost guaranteed win that will deliver in the end the same policies. They're gonna give trillions 100%. Of dollars more to the rich. That's all they're gonna do. Maybe some racist stuff at the border, you know, maybe a Muslim ban. Maybe they'll strip away some of your reproductive rights. I have no doubt that Nikki Haley would do that the same as Donald Trump. So they could coast. They could take like 70% of the money that they would put into the presidential race and just win so many congressional races and Senate races and governor's races and state rep races that they aren't gonna be able to put the money into, because instead they're gonna have Trump, who's gonna need the advertising And they're gonna throw hundreds of millions of dollars at his legal defense. This is such a self-destructive political strategy.
100%, 100%. And honestly, like, she isn't that much to the right. I mean, people are gonna get mad at me at this, but like, on the border, on immigration, we've seen the way Biden has scurried to the right to try to what? Make a deal with Trump, right? Like, Nikki Haley would sweep up an undecided vote. Nikki Haley would sweep up people maybe who went from Trump to Biden in 2020. She'd get them back to the Republican Party. She would get a lot of these like so-called middle of the road voters that somehow Biden is desperate to get instead of growing the actual Democratic base with young people and people of color. He's put them aside for now. And so it would be a threat to everybody. I don't know, go Nikki, man. I mean, you're not gonna be the nominee. We'll see whether No Labels picks you, or have we decided that that story's ended? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I think they're still shopping. They lost Manchin, you know, and obviously they're suffering from heartbreak over that. But
I know.
Anyway, we're gonna take our first break, everyone. But when we come back, it was a big weekend in the area of brain rot, and we'll break it down after this. Okay, now that we got all that serious Supreme Court stuff out of the way, let's have a little bit of fun starting with this.
Putin, you know, has so little respect for Obama that he's starting to throw around the nuclear word today. You heard that, nuclear. He's starting to talk nuclear weapons today. Look, he can't campaign, he can't campaign, he can't speak. So we call it migrant crime. I came up with that name because I come up with a lot of good names. You see, Maduro, Venezuela, it's a Biden border will. Well, you know this, right? The Biden border bill, and perhaps most importantly, we are a nation that is no longer admired, respected, or listened to on the world stage. Hello, Richmond. I'm thrilled to be back in the beautiful Virginia. We love Virginia. How much? Heard that Saudi Arabia and Russia will repeat to.
Okay, hold on.
Where did you get booked?
There's a lot of good stuff in there. I've always said, you know, first you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the respected. he's dropping words. He's chewing on words. He is falling apart before our very eyes. But I do want to start with the final one. Could we just play that last one again?
We are a nation that just recently heard that Saudi Arabia and Russia will be reducing.
What in the brain worms is going on?
He should just continue to scat it on. Well, I love that it's the prompters moved a little too, and he's just like, I can't get that.
Respect the car. That was, I don't look. Look, we theorized for a long time that this was a dentures problem. Okay, I don't know how that would be dentures at that point. And I don't know about that one, but some of the other examples there. We had Dr. John Gartner on last week, and he broke down. It's like paraphagic aphasia, something like that. I don't know, but that's what I think a lot of these examples were. It's like he has a word. And I think that the connection to that word in his brain has been severed. It's not there anymore, and he can't get to it. So he does as his brain like tries to reroute power along some other thing. But that was like, you can't watch that clip and then say, yeah, Biden fell off a bike. I think this is what the election should hinge on. Biden has had a lot of uncomfortable moments. He's never had a moment like that last one.
I mean, I disagree, John. I'm sorry. He's had a lot of don't mess with him. Like, remember when he did that? He was
an auctioneer.
He was trying to speak in favor of women's rights. Like, don't mess with a woman.
I don't remember that one actually.
It was great. But. Or what about how you make beer recently and the beer, the brew, and the hops together? Okay, like, come on. Like, and then just this weekend, he's sitting down with the Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, who somehow he kissed on the head, which was like, dude, we're back to kissing now. I thought we kicked this habit. And then he again confuses Ukraine and Israel. Like, again is talking about we're gonna airdrop, you know, aid into Ukraine. We're airdropping the aid. It's like, no. The other war. Remember the other war?
I mean, we should also airdrop aid in Ukraine. But I get right. what you're saying. Right. Yes.
Remember okay. the one that's actually like good to defend and the other one that's mostly a genocide exactly. or basically a genocide?
Yeah. Wait, I get mixed up. Where are civilian lives important?
Yeah.
One of them. I don't remember which. But anyway, we'll talk more about that in the bonus members content. Okay, look, I think that what you're saying is very fair. All I'm saying is that as a country, if we're gonna have this big focus on brain rot, that was this weekend, okay? And there's so much more. I didn't want to do to my producers what I could have done, which is putting in like 10 more clips. That's from like 2 days of speeches. And we're just not gonna talk about it. That's not a concern.
Was he not in Virginia? That came real fast. Was he not in Virginia? No, he said, I love the people.
The Virginia one was he just forgot to say the word state. He just like decided to drop some parts of the sentence and just carry on. Yeah. I like the Venezuela. That was one of my favorites too. But yeah, no, I just the Russia, Saudi Arabia. Amazing. But anyway, look, I'm not comfortable with a guy like that being in office, but the Trump mental breakdowns, slip ups, gaffes, they're piling up every couple of days now. So will that actually shake some of the support of the MAGA politicians in his corner? I would not count on it. Here's an example.
Putin, you know, has so little respect for Obama that he's starting to throw around the nuclear word today. You heard that nuclear. He's starting to talk nuclear weapons today. I was waiting for that to happen. But we have a fool as a president. He said, we will never leave until there is complete and total victory. We might be there for a long time.
I know you have endorsed Mr. Trump. He seemed there to confuse Biden for Obama. He also suggested that there were US troops serving in Ukraine. Are you comfortable about his mental fitness?
Yes, yes. Compared to the current president, 110%. And as your polling shows, I think the American people have real concerns where President Biden is with regard to his fitness for office, particularly his mental acuity, and relative to President Biden or relative to former President Trump. I don't even think it's a close call when you see the two in action.
But to be clear, there are no US troops serving on the battlefield in Ukraine. There are military advisors. There aren't troops, correct?
No, but I mean, look, I mean, the other thing that-
Okay, because some within your party believe that. And
well,
that was
I mean,
what he suggested there.
I would go back to who is demonstrating more mental fitness to be the president.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is that it's not as clear as you'd like to pretend that it is. Because again, Obama is not president. I was pretty sure, I checked it. And now I'm like 99% sure that Obama is not president. And more importantly,
you should be president. John.
I mean, I have a grasp of the facts compared to him.
That's incredible.
He hasn't been president for years and years and years and years, but Trump keeps mixing them up. And it wasn't a joke. It wasn't sarcasm. He just doesn't seem to know or about where the troops are. All of that. And we sort of skipped over the Obama thing because in comparison to the others, it's less ridiculous. But that's the specific thing that he's been criticized for. And even in that area, he can't stop doing it again. But, you know, Senator Dan Sullivan's not going to let a little thing like that, you know, him mixing up information directly adjacent to nuclear threats be a problem for him. What do you think?
I mean, I think... Yeah, like they both have different types of brain rot, but it is ridiculous to try to distract from your candidate who you fully and wholeheartedly endorse by saying, look at the other guy. That's not the question. The question is your guy, right? Like, I think this is what kind of state of are we in when we're like, gee, who has less early onset like dementia? That's who we want to be president. This is a bad look for everybody involved. I just happen to believe that the early onset dementia with also fascist tendencies is worse than the early onset dementia that's green lighting genocide. Like just, but by a hair. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that's gonna tip it for me.
Yeah. Look, as you said earlier in the show, you know, we ended up with what we ended up, or at least what we're on track to end up with. And it's ridiculous. I just want us to be fair and even-handed. And I will be fair and even-handed right now briefly. Dan Sullivan cited a poll there saying people are really concerned about Joe Biden's fitness. And in this case, there does actually appear to be a poll. He was referencing an actual poll. And in that poll, he's not wrong that people are concerned about Biden. Only 32% of voters believe that Biden has the necessary mental and cognitive health to serve as president. But in that same poll, a majority of voters didn't believe that Trump had the necessary mental and cognitive health. His numbers are better by a chunk, but they also don't believe that he's mentally prepared. And what I would say is to Dan Sullivan, and I think this would have been a good follow-up question, Joe Biden is the incumbent president. That's who you're gonna have, okay, on the Democratic side, apparently. That's what it's looking like. Trump doesn't have to be the nominee. Mm-hmm. Nikki Haley's running against him. Like, you're saying I'm okay with his mental state in comparison to Joe Biden, but what about in comparison to Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis or Mike Pence or any of the many others that you could have endorsed but chose not to? You endorsed the Venezuela guy. You chose to do that. So anyway, it's a weird direction, and I'm not surprised that he's sticking to his guns, his demented guns, but it doesn't make him look great. And with that said, I want to move to one other quick thing in this. There's so much gross coming out of these Trump rally appearances, but we returned from the weekend to this Monday Menace.
And her lover, Nathan Wade. And they hired him for almost $1 million because of his great, great experience. Of course, he didn't have any experience. He had experience in something else. You know that. A lot of experience.
That is just so deeply gross and weird and creepy and on brand for Donald Trump that he is doing hand motions to represent the fact that two full-grown adults might have consensually had sex, which he finds to be a very weird and salacious thing. But that's not new. Every single time that Donald Trump has seen cause to comment on a relationship that someone else is in, whether it's people in the FBI or in the AG's office or, I don't know, Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson, he is so deeply weird and creepy about it. That guy, like, I'm not saying that this says anything about his own sexual experience, but he really thinks that other people having sex is a weird and noteworthy and salacious thing. He thinks all aspects of their relationships are. Because what he's referring to here is there had been these developments over the last few days that apparently there were like a lot of calls between the two, Willis and Wade, and a lot of text messages. He even thinks that that is weird. Take a look.
In a short, I know a lot of people. We like a lot of people. I happen to have a very good relationship with a woman called Melania. But I would venture to say in all the years that I've known her, I might not have called her 2,500 times. That's all. I know I didn't send 3,500 text messages. And
yeah, I think he's probably being honest there. Of course, I mean, he could have. He's on his phone all day long. He truth socials 1,000 times a day. But I think that he's probably not chit-chatting with Melania. And by the way, nailed her name. He got it on the first try. But he thinks it's so weird, so suspicious. And he has so much fun with this, with other people's sex lives. I'm not going to read this whole bleat, but if we put it up, he talks about her in all caps, sexcapades. She was involved in a relationship like a normal relationship. Now he lies and says that it's been established that it precedes when Wade was hired. That has not been established. That's why the attempt to take her off is on such shaky ground at this point. But why does he have to be so weird about the sex stuff, Francesca? I will never understand it.
Well, I mean, it's more mystified when you yourself don't actually have it or do it. And, you know, supposedly those are your children, but you know, we can't actually prove it. Actually, I think that the first three definitely were. But no, I mean, he's obsessed with this. He gets away with doing something as crass and ridiculous as this. He can, you know, do something else. It's because my man hasn't done this in a very long time. We see the way Melania treats you. And it's just incredible. Like, I happen to have a very good relationship with a woman called, wait for it, like my wife. Like, no, of course you should. That's your wife. Mm-hmm. You should have a good relationship with your wife, but you like, and you get cheers and applause for that. Biden said he's still doing it with Jill. He's still doing it with Jill. That's the secret to a good relationship is this, apparently. Now I know that's horrible for us to think about. I don't even want to I don't want to think about it, but now I am, and now I can't stop. The point is that again, Trump is fascinated by this because he has yet to touch human flesh consensually without it recoiling and sort of turning to dust. So, I mean, flesh that isn't his own. You know what I'm saying?
Here, just the grossest. Mackie Fermion had a similar comment. Yeah, it's look, I don't know that this is something that he's not a guy who self-analyzes, I don't think. But I do think that he finds it weird that other people can actually love each other, be attracted to each other, equally want each other and respect each other. Because I think, and I'm not saying that he never in his life, back in his 20s or whatever, had someone who actually wanted to either be in a relationship with him, to sleep with him or whatever. But that's a long time ago, whatever it is, that it was not a purely transactional thing. And I think that there's a deep level of jealousy of like, you know, he's effectively become in his old age a reborn incel. Yes. And we know the jealousy and the hatred of women that comes from that. The belief that like, I should be getting this stuff that I never get. So maybe nobody ever gets it. Maybe it's all transactional for everyone. I think that that's kind of what's going on here. But anyway, we need to take our second break of the show. When we come back, Lauren Boebert has kind of a good day. We'll break it down after this.
Lauren, you're going to do fantastically in your district. Lauren Boebert, thank you. Lauren's from afar, but she's here.
There was something about Donald Trump and the brain rot he's had recently that the way he was saying her name made me question whether her first name actually was Lauren. But he got it this time. He's right. It's Lauren Boebert. And right there, she received maybe like the biggest, most important gift that she could have gotten. Kind of the endorsement of Donald Trump. And it was taken a step further on Truth Social with him posting, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert is a capital P proven conservative and capital E effective leader. I'm gonna need citations on that. God. What exactly has she led on? And then he lists a whole bunch of issues that he lists for literally every single person that he endorses. He's been doing these copy paste endorsements for like weeks now, where he just changes the person's name. And it's just like 10 different things that have to do with shooting people in a variety of different formulations. So blah, 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 she'll be great for the fourth. And look, she's happy. She tweeted, it's my honor to have the endorsement of the greatest president our country has ever known, Donald J. Trump. It will be such a privilege to work alongside him in Congress in 2024 to deliver results for Colorado and get the entire country back on track. She doesn't even mention the district because she'd probably get it wrong at this point. And so the joke is, I guess, on us and ultimately on Colorado's fourth district, because she's a carpetbagger who brings with her, you know, years of bizarre, needless personal drama. Some of it, you know, put onto her by others, some of it of her own making. And she's accomplished nothing for her district. She had no faith in her ability to win in the district she'd represented for 4 years. So she jumped to another one. But none of that matters because Donald Trump endorsed her. And that probably is game over, Francesca. What do you think?
I just, you know, this is not a country I want to live in with Lauren Boebert in Congress and Donald Trump in the White House again. Now, I don't really want to live in this current iteration, but I definitely don't want whatever they're hawking. I just think about that, like it will be a privilege to work alongside, like no. Like what do you think they're gonna do? They've been really doing nothing lately, which has been exciting. Like I love the whole runaround with the impeachment that has led them absolutely nowhere. But I would be worried under a second Trump administration what they could actually get done. I'm assuming it's a lot of vaping, you know, on the floor and a lot of like handies. Is that what we're calling them these days, John? What do we call them? Handies.
I'm not calling them anything, really.
I feel like that's like more of like a 60s.
It does feel, or a little bit elementary school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, conservatives. High school?
Or, is that or okay? English, like a handy.
It does seem a little bit English. I can imagine that with an English accent. Anyway, okay. Shut up.
I'm sorry.
You're terrible.
Okay.
But yeah, I look, The thing about Lauren Boebert is that she is casually awful and, you know, Islamophobic and homophobic and all that stuff, but kind of like in the way that a lot of other conservatives are. And she in that spot means nothing for what happens if Donald Trump becomes president. She will vote, I think, exactly the same as whoever else would be in the spot. She's not going to lead on any legislation. She has no ideas. She has no real goals. She just wants to like get paid and do interviews sometimes, I think. So she's awful and she should be replaced, but I don't think that she's uniquely awful in comparison to the others. She is a willing tool of whatever the Republican regime is, I think. Anyway, with that said, we do need to move on to perhaps more interesting aspects of this that have now been effectively nullified in terms of importance. But let's jump to this. Lauren Boebert is obviously fighting to keep a spot in Congress. And as a part of that, she gave an interview to the Washington Post. And there's a lot of fascinating stuff in this. So she talks about the decision to move to another district. And here's how she puts it. She says, "I'm not dumb. I knew all the attacks that would come my way, but I talked to God. I asked, how do I address this? Will this be perceived that I'm not fighting? And God said, do you have more faith in your ability to fight or my ability to open a door?" And I love the idea of not only narrating what you said to God, but narrating what God said back. I don't think it's up to you, Lauren Boebert. There's a lot in that paragraph that's not up to you. First of all, I'm gonna have to get a second opinion on the first thing that you said. But like, I love that you are literally speaking for God. And also not just speaking for God, lying for God, because that's not the conversation you had. You looked at the polling, you said, I'm not gonna win if I stay here, or at least it's gonna be too difficult, so I'm gonna leave. You're not willing to be honest and you're lying about God to cover it. If I were a Christian, that's the sort of thing that I imagine would bother me, but I'll leave it to the other Christians to speak to that. She then talks about the Beetlejuice event. Of course, that's gonna be brought up. She says, people were freaking out about me dancing in the seat at Beetlejuice. Well, they should see me in church. And I'm just gonna have to fact check that.
Oh boy.
I'm not sure that that's what people were freaking out about, but Francesca, was it her dancing in her seat that people had an issue with?
Yeah, I really want to see her in church now. I think she should probably charge for those tapes. I can't imagine just the Holy Ghost is sitting next to her getting an Andy, as we've decided it is now. The Holy Ghost like, hell yeah. I do think that it is, and this is good. Look, if you're religious, that's fine. And if you're progressive and you're religious, I'm assuming you don't talk like this. And I'm assuming you are not a xenophobic, again, casually racist or, you know, ardently racist person like Lauren Boebert is. But the way that they just tell you, and they do this all the time, John, like, God told me this. And so I said, okay. And you're just like, all right, you sound like a 3-year-old telling me what your imaginary friend told you to, like, you know, kick the ball through your neighbor's window. Like, that's actually what the rest of us hear. And we see you, like, we see that you just changed districts because you wanted a better chance at winning. And also you're low key admitting that you don't have a fight in you, that you don't have faith in your ability to fight, nor does God have ability in nor does God have faith in your ability to fight. Like, that's sort of what she said.
Yeah, she's admitting that. And she's also admitting that she doesn't really have much of a relationship with God. If her, let's say that she actually sometimes prays to God and says stuff, that would be sacred to you. But it's also something that you casually lie about, which implies to me that it's not actually sacred to you. I don't care. I don't think it really means anything, but you pretend to believe that it does. So I'm just pointing out a little bit of inconsistency there. Also, the fact that she was doing more than just dancing in the seat at Beetlejuice, largely irrelevant, I think, to her ability to function as a congresswoman, except insofar as there's a little bit of hypocrisy when she's demonizing gay people existing as a sexual affront to straight people. And meanwhile, she's given, you know, whatever she's doing there. But I also just want to point out, in advance of her winning re-election and representing the 4th district for a few years, do you guys understand that she was facing down the barrel of consequences for the fact that she hasn't delivered as a congresswoman and that she's had all this personal drama? If she wins again, it is going to tell her, I don't need to change any of that. It's fine that all that stuff happened because I was still rewarded with a seat. So she's going to go back to doing all the same stuff. And more scandals will arise. whatever volunteers is interviewed in that piece and says that former volunteers had noticed that she started posting all these weird pictures on Facebook, like she was constantly at frat parties. I don't know exactly what that means, but when they raised concerns to her that like, it doesn't seem like you're really doing much constituent services or whatever, she just responded with a kissy face emoji, which gives off like strong cinema vibes to me. Another person who believed that they could do no wrong because they'd always win anyway. So I'm just saying, Lauren Boebert might well win the battle, but she is going to continue to do stuff that's going to give rise to other scandals. And you know what? We'll be watching for it. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, that is unfortunately all the time we have for this segment. There were other interesting tidbits in the Washington Post. Definitely check it out. But for now, we do have to end the hour. I don't want to, but I asked God and God was like, you only got an hour, John. You got to end this thing. So, you know, who am I to question God? So stick around after this for more of me and Francesca.